All right, here we are on a Tuesday morning. The Port Huron City Council met last night. One of the more intriguing things on the agenda involves marijuana use in Port Huron. A lot of twists and turns to this story, and we're going to get to it right now with the mayor of Port Huron, Pauline Rettman. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning.
So this is interesting. I know the city has been looking at this really for months, you know, even over a year, how to or whether to allow legalized sale of marijuana in the city. There's another organization called Progress for Michigan 2020 that's looking at this as well. So help us understand exactly what's going on with this ordinance right now.
Okay, I'll try, because that's kind of one of those confusing things.
It is.
But you're right. The city has been working on this for months and months, and of course, it got it delayed a little bit because of COVID, as everything has been, and we couldn't get out to the other places to do the research we wanted to do before we adopted an ordinance. Always the intent, we just temporarily opted out for a period of time in order to do our due diligence. So we did come up with, after meetings and investigations and different things and meetings with both the Planning Commission and the City Council, we had several times over the summer, to come up with an ordinance that we thought was best for the residents, controlled it, which is what we always wanted to do. So one of the things and one of the reasons why is because the law states that right now you can only get a marijuana license for recreational if, in fact, you hold a medical marijuana license, which is something we opted out of back when that came up, which means that there's really no one in the city of Port Huron proper that owns a medical marijuana license to sell. So that kind of eliminated any city residents for getting in on this to open up a retail operation. So we did not want to have all of our licenses go in the first little while that we decided on out-of-town people. We wanted to give the opportunity for local entrepreneurs to participate, too. So our ordinance was limiting it to actually three retail operations, with the intent of opening it up after this date changes, which is December of 2021 for the state, at this point, to allow for people to apply for just a recreational license. So we would not saturate the market. If you open it up too much to begin with, it would be all saturated before anybody locally had a chance to even get into it, unless they, garnered a partner or a 50% partner with someone else. Mm-hmm. So we were heading down that path of adopting this and with full intentions of adopting it by the end of September, accepting applications October through December, and then distributing licenses at the first of the year. In the meantime, this organization went out and garnered signatures to mandate the sale of recreational marijuana, but they did not limit it to three. I believe the limit they put on there was seven licenses. Also, for one thing that we did not approve in our ordinance was for a grow operation. And they have five grows and seven retail, and then there's transport, and there's all different things in different terms of which I never knew I would know.
Learning more and more about this business than you ever thought, right?
Yes, absolutely. So it's in conflict for what we were trying to do by making it open for our residents, and so consequently, the petitions were turned in too late according to our charter provisions for initiatory petitions, but not by election law. So they were not the court originally turned down the fact that they wanted them on the ballot in November. And we said they had missed the deadline. So it was turned down, but then they took it to the appeals court, and the Court of Appeals overturned it and said that we had to follow the election law and that they had turned it in plenty of time for that. That means that they mandated that it will, in fact, be on the November ballot.
Okay.
This is in conflict to what we have proposed, but the voters will get the opportunity to decide whether they want this completely open, and really basically it's taken away a lot of our controls over it as far as the permit process. And but even though we will most likely adopt this ordinance that we proposed at the next meeting, making it effective the 1st of October, by the 1st of November, November 3rd, when it's on the ballot, if the voters vote for that ordinance instead, it will take precedence over ours. So it's kind of it's a little confusing, because I think that a lot of people probably that signed the petition or that thought that they thought we were doing nothing on it, and I don't know why, because we've been talking about this for quite some time that we were, and publicly have sure. stated that we were looking into it. So I think they thought that forced the issue, which we were already doing anyways.
Do you know anybody from this organization, Pauline? Did anybody from Progress for Michigan 2020 approach the city?
No.
Yeah, see.
No. Yeah. And I don't even know who the entities are that are behind it. But I would guess that what's going to happen is if it passes, then you're going, there's obviously a group of people that have paid a lot of money to have this push through. We're not the only city in the state of Michigan that has been approached by this method.
Yeah.
So, I think that there's, you know, marijuana in and of itself is, you know, a lucrative business. So I'm sure there's a lot of people who want these licenses. So we could end up with having a lot of places with a lot of licenses, and they'll all be from people who don't live in our community. So
stay tuned.
You know, it's just a matter of, you know, I guess what the voters want. But, you know, we feel we proposed what was best for our city. So I'm hoping that the voters see it that way, but it is what it is.
It is indeed. So we'll decide on November 3rd how that all shakes out. I want to also talk about the McMorran Plaza plan. This is going to be a more expensive build than was initially thought, and yet still pretty important to the vitality of downtown, isn't it?
It is. You know, making that area out there a gathering place and a good place for families, et cetera, to go to was always our goal. You know, they wanted to put a little ice rink and some, you know, different things up there. And the price tag originally, as it ended up coming in to begin with, was over $2 million. So then they pared it back, and it still came to $1.5 million, of which we basically have the funds for $1.2 million. So we awarded the bid, but they're not going to sign, you know, start date or anything like that on the basis that the city is going to meet with the contractor and go through some things that that we might be able to scale back on or to make some changes on that will save some money. And additionally to that, then looking for other funds, because this is not coming out. This was a lot of funds came forward from different places, and our Ralph C. Wilson and Community Foundation have helped us out, and a trust fund and different, you know, we've gotten monies and donations and trying to get it paid for. So we're short a little bit of money, but we're going to try to save some in speaking to the contractor and also hopefully get some more donations.
It's probably going to be kind of neat.
It'll be neat. It'll be really nice. And we didn't want to, you know, if you turn down the bid saying, well, we don't have enough money, then we've lost all the grant funds. And you don't want to lose the grant funds. That's too much. It's too close. So we're just going to keep pursuing it.
All right. Very good. Well, one other thing I wanted to mention, Pauline, is you highlighted the Port Huron Beautification Commission's Yard of the Year winners last night. This is just something that I think is so cool that Port Huron does, really recognizes those people that go above and beyond to make their yards look nice.
It is. It is nice. And it's unfortunate that we weren't able to do the public recognition that we usually do for that. And people come forward, and they're very happy to get their tulip that they can put in their front yard.
You bet.
That they got the Yard of the Year award, and nice to get the recognition for their hard work. But, you know, obviously under the circumstances, we don't encourage people to come to the meeting unless they have a reason to be there. No. That's, you know, I mean, not that that's not a reason, but we're certainly trying to keep our groups down.
Yeah.
So they will have to pick up their own tulip and or plaque. But unless they can't, but we still wanted to give them the recognition. So, in fact, this is kind of what's going to happen in 2 weeks, Spirit of Port Huron Awards. And we always had a nice reception at McMorran, and people were honored, but we can't do that because you can't meet with more than 10 people. So, basically, what we're going to do is the same basic thing, is I'm just going to be announcing the winners.
It's like we were saying, you know,
unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. It's like we were saying off the air, though. You never know where somebody is. You find ways to reach them, whether it's you know, on video or on phone or somehow. Mm-hmm. But we all find each other.
Yep, we do find each other, don't we?
That's absolutely. A good thing. Yeah, indeed. Pauline, always appreciate your time. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us this morning.
Thank you, Paul. Talk
to you
soon. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.